Welcome to Atomic Moms, a modern parenting podcast about the joys and complexities of caring for our children and ourselves. I'm Ellie Noss, and each week we celebrate and commiserate with best-selling authors, parenting experts, and moms around the world.
I always thought you were reading something when you did that.
Does it sound like so that's kind of that's the way I do it?
No, it's because you've never been a memorizer. And I'm so impressed and amazed to see that you just did that off the top of your head.
It only took over 100 episodes to remember
whatever,
it.
16 episodes?
I remember the first probably 30 episodes that I did with Bianca. At the end, you know, it's the trust in your goodness, live out your greatness, rock on, Atomic yeah. Moms. And I would always panic because I wouldn't remember the beginning. And that's why I think Bianca always would start it.
Yeah.
So I'd be like,
she'd give you the look like, you got this.
You can do this.
No, you just did it from memory with no sense of panic. I don't think I've ever seen you
with no sense of panic.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen you do something from memory with no sense of panic in our almost 10 years of marriage.
That's why the acting thing did not work out.
Yeah. But that's all. You just needed 100 and some auditions of the same piece of material.
No, seriously. Well, that's why I was such a better theater actor.
Right.
Because we had rehearsals.
Sure.
I was great.
Yeah. Well, let's not toot our own too much.
I was great. Hey, I was in a play with Lupita.
You were Nyong'o. Academy Award winner.
Yeah, I was in college.
Cool. And I know.
I was the star.
Yeah. You peaked too early, I think.
I know. We were laughing about how it should be an indie film. Like, oh.
You look back at the photo of you and then you realize that you weren't the person destined for greatness in the photo.
No, Lupita definitely was. And looking back, that's pretty clear. But at the time,
I had hopes and dreams. The world right
I had a huge role. Oh, well.
Anyway, man, it got real nostalgic.
Mm. Well, we just saw the movie La La Land.
Oh, so good.
So good. Everyone go see La La Land.
So great. I could talk about it forever. Made me love Los Angeles again.
Oh, yeah. Plus one of Sabrina's friends, he makes a little cameo.
Yeah.
Little Arthur.
No spoilers, but yeah.
No spoilers, but I will say that watching La La Land, it felt pretty cool to live in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it really makes you – I mean, L.A. is a weird city where you kind of – for the people that don't, it's one minute you love it and then you'll go through like months or years where you just like don't like it. Mm-mm. And then it takes something like this movie to be like, oh, yeah, that's right. This place is –
Yeah.
Really great. And you are wearing shorts in the middle of December. And
it's not really worth visiting.
LA?
But it's amazing. Like if you live here, you'll see all the iconic spots. And the Griffith Park Observatory plays a key part of the film. And that's basically where we are recording this episode right now.
Not in the observatory. That'd
we
be
are
crazy.
In. We broke into
we
the
broke
observatory.
In.
No.
Oh, God. We got to go. Here they come.
Our home studio is close by.
Yeah.
So that made me nostalgic. And also, we have a new performer in our household because Sabrina Wells-Steekiel made her big stage debut this morning at the holiday preschool performance.
It was hilarious and beautiful and the best concert I've ever seen. Yeah, all the kids are dressed up. It was amazing.
It was really cool. And she had her headband and she had this little clip that she demanded I put in there.
She looked great. She's got to have a little flair. You know what I mean? She can't, she just can't be dressed completely in the way someone else wants her to be dressed. She's got to have a little bit of, hey, this one's for me.
Yeah.
I gave you 90% of it. I need a little something for
her piece of flair.
Myself. Yeah. Her hair flair. Yeah. She needed it.
Oh, man.
And massive applause for the preschool. Like, I don't know how you. The way that they were able to like move those kids on and off the stage, and they let all the parents of each respective class come down to the stage to take photos. It was
By the way, this was at like a big theater where we have seen.
I saw the Strokes play there.
You saw the Strokes play there. Yeah. We saw Chris Thiele play there.
That's right.
Atomic Mom's guest Claire Coffey, her husband Chris Thiele, who is now the host of Prairie Home Companion.
Yes.
He also has a band called Punch Brothers. We saw them perform at this theater.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Sabrina Steekiel performed there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I told her before she got on stage, because we are in L.A., I was like, there's going to be a lot of agents in this audience.
Excuse me. I literally, like, I start sweating when you say that.
Well, it's true. Ugh. You look at the school directory. Don't worry, she will not do it. Although she is already better at memorizing than her mother.
Yeah. Move on. Let's move to the next topic.
Nikki, by the way, who, man, any Atomic Mamas out there who have not listened to my interview with Nikki Deloach, you must. Oh, she's just the best. And she was also there this morning. And she said that she would be happy to step in as Sabrina's stage mom.
If she had to have a stage mom, Nikki would be great.
Yeah.
But
come on, she was in the Mickey Mouse Club. She's just a professional actress.
She's in a great Lifetime movie.
It was Hallmark Channel.
Hallmark. Is that different? Those are different things?
Honey. Yeah.
You know.
Claire Coffey was in the Lifetime one.
But they both do Christmas.
Holly's Holiday.
Yes, I know. But I think I conflated them because I thought I was under the impression
that
there was one.
Your dear friends are in all the different Christmas movies.
Yeah, on different networks.
On different networks.
That was the part that I was confused about.
Yeah. Well, you should be ashamed of yourself.
I sure should.
Sure should. What else? So she's our performer.
You never even said who I was, by the way. I don't know if that matters. Or if people
gosh.
If people just read the text and go, oh, it's Ellie's.
You're whoever I need you to be.
That's right.
You're my
guys, I'm parenting expert. I wrote a book called
You're My Sidekick.
Sweet Baby, Mean Baby. It's a really interesting, you break down the child personality and you realize that, you know, there's the sweet baby and the mean baby.
And and Mr. Adam Stegiel, how did Sweet Baby, Mean Baby come into fruition?
Sweet Baby, Mean Baby came into fruition when I saw two babies, and one baby was very sweet and the other baby was very mean. And I realized those are the only two kinds of babies, sweet babies and mean babies.
I feel like I embody both of those.
Sweet Baby, Mean Baby. It's just a poem about my wife.
Of almost 10 years.
Almost 10 years, that's right.
This summer.
It's crazy.
What are you going to do for me for 10 years?
Oh, I'm going to...
A decade.
I'm going to throw an extraordinary party.
That's a long shelf life for a starter wife.
I'm going to buy you a Mustang.
I don't... Like a horse, I hope.
No, like a muscle car. Like a Cobra, like something really fast.
Just give me like credits for Uber. You know I don't
credits
like
for Uber. Nothing says 10 years together like Uber credits.
Driving scares me.
That's you're right. You know what? Uber credits would be a really good gift for you, or just a personal driver. I think is the
like
ultimate.
That. Keep working, baby.
Yeah, I'll
keep
get there.
Working.
Someday I can.
Well, you're working on this movie for The Rock now.
Yeah.
Do you call him The Rock when you're with him, or do you call
him
Dwayne?
DJ.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Dwayne Johnson goes by DJ?
I don't look. I've only met him one time. And, you know, for the biggest movie star in the world, he's also as nice as you would think he is and seems to be in sort of all his appearances. But, yeah, everybody calls him DJ. Okay. I just called him, hey, what's up, man? And then just kind of was stunned by how massive he is.
So when you are writing this script, sometimes this is so ridiculous. We had some friends dog sitting for us recently, and they were staff writers on Undateable, and they're just like the best couple ever. And when I was showing them our home that we've now been in for 8 years, John was asking, well, where does Adam work? And I was like, oh, this is his chair. And he's like, but where's like his bulletin board or anything? And I was like, oh yeah, he doesn't get to have those things.
Yeah. I get, that's, I mean, I do feel like 10 years of marriage really is just real. For me, it's all about just like whittling down my possessions. And now I have.
You've embraced like a Marie Kondo way of life.
I have. I'm a monk. I really
try
to. You're
an essentialist.
I'm a total essentialist.
We are sitting in the garage where you used to exercise and store all of your
things. That's all gone now.
I burned it all.
Yeah.
And now it's my beautiful podcast studio.
So
it is beautiful,
right? That was all given away. And you realize, you know what? I miss it.
Everybody, Adam has sacrificed a lot for Atomic Moms. He has to listen to me talk about it basically every day. And
it's great. I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm glad that, you know.
Yeah.
You're creating a community for people that have the hardest job you'll ever love. whatever that phrase is. I didn't make that up.
That's, I know, but it was really sweet. Yeah. So sometimes when you're in your little corner in the little chair, it's not a little chair.
I love that chair. It's angling to get rid of that chair, though. That's the thing. We joke that I have a chair, like that's my entire space in the house. And you've been angling to get rid of that chair for, I feel like, almost 3 years now. Like that chair is, that's the hill I'm going to die on. Yeah. It's like, if they carry that chair out, they're carrying me with it.
That plane overhead is actually here to pick up the chair.
The chair, you're just lifting it out of the house as we speak. That's why I'm the guest. It was just to get me out of the house.
In our guest room, it's this massive black leather chair.
Oh, God. I'll take a picture of it and post it on the website.
It doesn't work with anything else.
It doesn't work with anything else. You and I are, we have such differing views on also.
Oh, aesthetics. Yes.
Clashing and all that kind of stuff.
Of course.
Yeah.
But when I met you, you had sheets nailed to the windows as curtains.
Yeah. I can't defend that.
If you opened a utensil drawer, it only had plastic cutlery.
Yeah, but I also had like, but then I had things that I really like. I had a mug that I really liked. You know what I mean? Like there are the items. You're right. I've always been sort of like a
Spartan
man. Oh my
God. We should, by the way, soon Sabrina's going to be able to read and we need to go through our mug collection because when you were working on
inappropriate. Let's
the
just
TV
say
show Undateable, you guys all ended up giving each other mugs.
There was a joke because I would bring actually, I don't know if this is connected, but I would bring coffee to work.
In these Williams-Sonoma mugs that were a Christmas gift to us.
Yeah, but there were other mugs too. I forget what the other ones were. And somebody started stealing my mugs. So like the Williams-Sonoma one got stolen. And then another one I brought in that was sort of like also kind of ridiculous got stolen. Yeah,
they're like 55-year-old woman mugs.
Right. And then I got a note on my desk one day that was like, I should find it and post them so people can see them. But it was basically like from the mug.
Well, maybe you should have a podcast. Maybe you need a platform.
The mug police and the note was like, you know, we've taken your mugs because they're so terrible and they will not be, they'll be returned to you at a later date instead of the mug police. And it was one of the writers on the staff just obviously like, you know, playing a prank on me and stealing my terrible mugs. And so mugs became kind of a thing in the room. And so somebody made mugs for everyone at the end of the year that had a very inappropriate joke from the show.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we have two of them and we continue to use them and we should probably stop soon because Sabrina's going to learn how to read.
Sure. And you don't want her first word to be teabag that she reads.
I mean, it was a clever mug.
It was a very clever mug, yeah.
There was also the car incident. Should we share that while we're on this topic?
The car incident?
Yeah. So my amazing husband.
I'm like already having internal panics.
Care about
I love this one.
A way to describe Adam is that like you are, which is funny because you were senior class president, you were homecoming king, and
to a fault, I don't care what people think. To a fault. To the point where it's like
you go against it. You're like, if it seems like we're keeping up with the Joneses, no way.
And I agree. And I've changed. I've come around a little bit. Like, so this was basically like even washing a car felt like, well, who am I trying to impress? And you're like, well, you're not. You're just trying to be a human who like doesn't drive a filthy car.
My ratty Volvo and not wash it ever.
Yeah.
And
Ellie rightfully should be like,
you
know.
He'd park it in his little like showrunner spot at Warner Brothers where like most of the big kids have
washed cars.
I mean, we're talking about because we don't have a garage because our garage was like, because you couldn't fit a car.
It's a very LA garage. You can't not, you could park a motorcycle in here and that's it.
Right. So the trees would always dump on the cars anyway and it, all the
blah,
smog.
Blah, blah, the car was
just
filthy.
Imagine the filthiest car ever.
Right.
I take the car to an appointment. I don't have time to find parking. So I valet.
Now you
at like
go,
a sushi restaurant next door.
Backtrack.
No, I'm like 8-9 months pregnant also.
Yes, but I'm saying you have to tell the backstory of how this would happen.
Can I just tell my version?
Yes.
Guys,
okay,
I don't
ahead.
Know.
Sure.
So my version is I take the car. I'm like 9 months pregnant. I have an appointment. I find a sushi restaurant nearby. It's so LA. I park it with them and they go, do you want us to also wash the car? And I was like, no. Because I'm cheap. And then I turn around and there's like this huge drawing of male genitalia.
A penis with testicles.
Yeah.
Drawn in the dirt, drawn in the dust.
Yeah.
On the window of the car.
Yeah.
And the backstory is that one of our riders If you want to follow him on Twitter, I think he's at Craig Doyle LA. He's hilarious.
Oh my God.
He would, that's how his way of, he's a punk rocker and would do a lot of hilarious pranks growing up, and the list of which never stopped amusing me. He would, back in the 80s when he was a teenager, he would go to parties and he would steal the television remotes, because back then it was very hard to get a new television remote.
See, I think that's funny. He is a very good dad.
He's an amazing father, but he's laughing if you listen to this now.
Well,
he's a big
Atomic Moms listener.
Theater of the mind. That's what he just
did. Okay, just tell us why about the car.
So Craig, his thing is he will often deface things in the world by drawing penises on them. He calls it donging them. And one day my car was dirty and he decided to dong it as a joke to me, thinking I would come back, see it, and go, ha, 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 that was really funny, dude.
But because Adam doesn't care about aesthetics.
I didn't see it. Had I seen that, I would have certainly
cleaned it.
Right. And I didn't see it. And then Ellie drove the car and drove the donged car to the valet.
and got shamed by the valet.
I don't know how we got onto that topic.
Well, it was about the mug, and then
The terrible.
I was very pregnant, so it's pertinent to Atomic Moms. So it's the holidays.
Great transition.
Ding-dong,
you did it.
Ding dong.
Speaking of dogs, ding dong. It's the holidays.
It is a holiday. So, Mr. Adam Stekiel, gosh. When you think about the holidays, like, what gets you most excited?
Being with my family. You know, especially out here, it's, you know, I mean, obviously everybody knows the rat race everywhere, but I think, you know, it's sometimes you get caught up in it and it's hard to slow down. And I do think it's nice during the holidays to be able to downshift even for these couple weeks and really focus on your family and just spend time with Sabrina and with you laying around. And this year we're going to go back to Detroit with my family. All the cousins are going to be there. It's going to be total insanity, but I just think it's going to be such a great, not physically relaxing, but I think it's going to be like an emotionally, mentally relaxing time.
Mm-hmm. That's energy.
Real high energy. It's going to be real high energy. Yeah. I'm saying that like as a warning. I'm like looking at you being like, yeah, buckle up.
But why? How do you describe the scenario to people who have not been to the Stekiels?
Half of it, I don't think you have to even have been to my family's house. It's just going to be Sabrina, her two boy cousins who are just over one and four?
Yeah, all sleeping on the premises.
All on the premise. Then she's got her 9-year-old cousin and her 1-year-old cousin down the street. They'll be there
A
block away.
Natalie Taylor, you guys listened to her episode this past summer.
Yeah. Her kids will be all over the place. And my mom is my mom loves the fun, you know, and as does my father.
As we talked about
the last time I was on the show, my dad loves to push fun to its, like, just to the furthest possible extreme where it becomes not fun.
Like, give an example. I feel like he goes down these crazy rabbit holes. Like, he's got this refrigerator in the garage. And
if you're like, oh, I love Snapple. Not even if you say I love Snapple. If you say, I had a Snapple. I had a Snapple. Yeah, it could be literally 15 years ago. You will show up, my dad will go, hey, there's 300 Snapple in the fridge for you. Snapples, whatever the plural is.
And then
he
would like push it on you.
And then every day, you'd be like, do you want a Snapple? Can I get you Snapple?
I feel like this past summer, or maybe it was early, I think I had given up on everything by this summer, but when I was more aware of sugar, especially because Sabrina turns into the Tasmanian devil very easily, like juice. There was a lot of juice pushing happening, which I'm sure some moms are laughing about.
I talked to my mom.
They're so respectful about all of it.
Not even respectful. I feel like my mom genuinely, like when we talk about it, learn their lesson is not the right word, but I feel like, I will say, like, I'm sure parents everywhere have the talk with the grandparents that's like, hey, let's try to moderate the sugar, just because, like, that's a grandparent's job. Give the kids whatever they want.
I will never forget walking in on my mom giving Sabrina a cupcake, and it was her very first cupcake.
Who gave her? Someone gave her a cupcake.
And I think she was a year old.
I'm making that up.
Making it up, but that would happen.
Yeah, but the cupcake, because it's a grandparent's job. It really is their job.
For sure. But she was, I think maybe she was one.
But
no, she was under one because she hadn't had the cake yet or anything.
She was very young. And then, but I will also say that, so I think when parents like us go to the grandparents and say, hey, you know, let's ease up on the sugar, she gets a little crazy. It's sort of like a months. Yeah, right, whatever.
Right.
But I think my mom, you know, then was like, she really does respond to sugar in a very unique way.
How did your mom describe her again?
She said she's a three-person job. And Sabrina, if you're listening to this as an adult, you were. And we loved it. It was great. It was endless joy and hilarity.
And so did our babysitter,
yeah,
who has a three-person job.
You, from the moment you woke up, the gas pedal was all the way down.
I mean, it's amazing to watch.
Yeah.
High energy.
I will say that over the course of the year, I have noticed that she has become more able to immerse herself in a task, mm-hmm. and sort of, you know,
Especially with books and puzzles. That's
puzzles,
amazing.
So into puzzles. And that's
amazing. She'll sit there for 30 minutes with a puzzle.
Yeah, which is great. That's one of the big, I mean, what are, this is a question for you, because to me, you know, she turned 2 last year, 3 this year, like the changes have been extraordinary.
Yeah, I don't really remember her. I'm kidding.
Intellectually.
What's your question?
My question is like, what if, you know, not just in terms of her, but your relationship with her, like, what do you think has changed, you know?
I feel like we're in a super great spot. Like because I'm more aware of the fact that like, I can't just show up with demands, which is still a bummer. Like in the morning, if I'm taking her to school, I have to shower and then try to get her dressed. Like it's harder. You have to have some like free time with her first. She really wants you to put in the time.
Yeah.
Before
you gotta
she'll
her
do
and
any,
diner.
You gotta wine her and dine her.
Yeah, you can't just show up
which
expect
is hard.
Her to cooperate. Yeah.
So I've learned my lesson there and continue to learn it. Although sometimes logistically it's just tough.
Yeah, like today. Today was hard.
Today was really hard with the performance.
But I would also say, you know, and this I'm sure a lot of moms are
night.
Like this. No, not that. But sometimes like it doesn't have to be a team effort. You know what I mean? I could tell you were really, you know, you wanted to, you know, for lack of a better word, like quote unquote, you know, do your part and be like, okay, great. You got her breakfast and you got her done here. Now I'll get her dressed.
Right.
But like, sometimes just like, it's fine. Like I'll get her dressed. Who cares? You know, there's no need to, if there's a rhythm, let's ride the wave, mm-hmm. because I will say, especially this year, and that's one of the biggest changes with her is like last year, there was still a lot of like, we could kind of push our agenda on her. Mm-hmm. And this year, she has her own agenda.
Well, and so many opinions.
Yeah.
And when it comes to getting dressed, she's really into big, fancy dresses.
Loves dresses.
Like, she wants to always wear, like, a big poofy dress to breakfast downstairs.
Yeah,
and
which
then,
we do.
And
like,
then
I'll,
she wants to do a wardrobe
that.
Change into her school clothes.
Yeah, which is hilarious.
She's a treat.
But the thing that I, you know, when we talk about a lot is – and this is sort of in my defense of kids and you know, their pushback and the little tantrums they'll throw in the morning is like, I don't think they're yet capable of the gear that we're trying to mm-hmm. go to in the morning when we're trying to get ready. You know, like,
I agree.
There's none of this like we wake up and we know because we understand time. We're like, oh, man, we got 45 minutes to get up, get dressed, get out of the house, have breakfast.
She's living in the moment and she's sort of like, well, this is great right now. Like, why do we need to change the greatness?
Right. Why are you rushing me through breakfast?
Why change the channel?
Yeah.
That's
exactly right. Why change the channel?
She never wants to change the channel, by the way.
No, for her, that's especially hard. But I don't blame her. You know, for her, it's like,
it's great.
Why? I'm enjoying my breakfast. I'm not ready to get dressed yet. And from her perspective, I mean, I wish I had a little bit of that. I wish I could sort of be comfortable in second gear and just kind of, you know, it doesn't have to be go, go, go. I do live in the moment. They're shorter moments that we string together.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll be living in the moment next week because for the first time in over 100 episodes, we will not be posting an episode next week. Sometimes we do the remixes, and I have found that editing those is as much work, if not more, than interviewing a new fabulous guest. So next week, I'm taking a little bit of my own advice. And just going to enjoy the family. But we are going to come back strong in January. I've actually already recorded that episode, first episode. It's going to be with Sarah Haley. She's a fitness expert. We're going to talk about prenatal, postnatal, everything natal and not natal exercise. And it's a really fun episode, and I'm looking forward to 2017.
I want everyone to look out for my new book. It's called Classy Baby, Sassy Baby. it's the sequel.
Oh, man. That's great.
Yeah.
But listen, next week, even though we're not on, listen to a recent episode that you want to catch up on, or my numbers will plummet and I will spiral.
It's a no spiral zone over the holidays, guys. Yeah. No one's allowed to spiral. No spiraling.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I've been getting some really amazing.
Treat yourselves well, everybody.
I've been getting really great messages from listeners.
That's great.
It's really sweet.
Be nice to each other. Go see La La Land.
Oh, yeah. Go see La La Land.
Yeah. It's worth it. Try to bring some positivity into your life. You know what I mean? Just trying to be.
Okay. What did you, when you married me?
I felt like we were wrapping it up. Now it feels like we're literally.
I know.
Maybe we could just start again and have another 45-minute conversation. What? Yeah, when I married you.
I mean, did you think that I was going to be this, like, the parent that I am?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I think I thought you'd be this parent too.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's surprises in a positive way, you know, because the other part is you meet someone's parents and part of you is like, oh, well, they'll probably be a lot like that. And mm-hmm. then you're sort of surprised when you go, oh, wow, there's this other part of them that sort of emerged, you know, now that we have a family and that I didn't expect, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool. Because it's also with someone, I mean, we obviously had been together for many years before we had Sabrina. And it's really cool to see a new part of your partner's personality emerge, you know.
What part would that be?
I mean, for lack of a better word, the sort of cuddly maternal part, that's not mm-hmm. really, you know, you're not a cuddly person, you know, mm-hmm. You're very waspy for lack of a better
yeah.
word. But with Sabrina, you know, you're not like that at all. You know, you're a really engaged, physically, mentally present, person. She has some of those waspy tendencies to push back a little bit. So maybe, I don't know, maybe that's how that works, but that was pretty cool. And also I think just things like this, I mean, realizing like you've really been a person who kind of decided that being a better human, is a fundamental requirement of being a better parent. And you know, constantly finding people and experts and information and stuff about that to try to make yourself a better person. I think you're pretty great already, but I appreciate that you would work that hard on yourself in order to be a better parent. And that's pretty cool. I don't think I've really showed many new colors. I think I kind of, maybe it's because I'm so much older, but I feel like I kind of.
You always showed your beautiful rainbow.
Yeah. I've just been always sort of a.
No, I'm so impressed by, or look at, you know, I guess we're supposed to be extra grateful during this time of year. I am so in awe of your ability to work so hard and so focused on so many different projects, where the stakes, you know, you're no surgeon, but the stakes are really high, in that because it's more of like a freelance career, you never know what's right. going to happen next. It's not like you show up every day at the same office. I mean, you hope to for a few seasons and then it shifts. But the stakes are high in this town. Or
the stakes are high, just to clarify. It seem like not that the stakes are not high in the work in terms of saving the world. The stakes are high as someone who is employed, that if you phone it in or, you know, don't do a good job, then the work will go away very quickly. But that I feel is sort of true everywhere.
Yeah. And there's also luck involved. So it's like you always have to stay on your toes. Yeah. And so your ability to do that and to sort of be thriving in your work life and at the same time be so present with Sabrina, like you have not, well, maybe those for a few months we joke about when you were working so hard because you had a brand new TV show, like in, that you had to be there.
Yeah. But I feel like it would have been pretty useless anyway during those first few months.
Plus, like the actual birth experience. Everybody, he was on the hospital bed. Oh,
that's another episode.
I know, it's a whole another episode, but you were on the hospital bed, and he's not a hippie.
No.
He ended up.
Only a comedy writer ends up in the position I ended up in that delivery room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the hospital bed, me leaning back on his chest while
my feet in the stirrups
while I was pushing.
Yeah, it's another episode, and it's hilarious.
It was hilarious, and we've got a picture to prove it. Yeah. But it was. Oh, and we also went to In-N-Out Burger before on the way there.
That's a whole. That I feel like, didn't you do this? Didn't you do?
I mean, I shared my birth story,
but not the funny version.
I mean, I wrote it. It was pretty funny.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, but I thought it was also like sentimental.
And it was touching.
And, I mean, and my spiritual. Version is the.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bruises that I had on my thighs from where your elbows were pushing while you pushed, but I couldn't. Even though I was in a lot of pain, I can't say anything because I know that you were in far more discomfort. So. I would just make horrible wincing faces, and the nurse would look at me like, you do not complain about this. You fight through this.
That nurse was incredible.
Yeah, she was
She'd been a former midwife.
Yeah. She had forearms like DJ, like Dwayne Johnson.
She was amazing.
She was a powerhouse.
She was like a farmhand.
Yeah.
She got me through it.
Yeah.
So anyway, you have not skipped a beat somehow. Somehow you're able to – but maybe that's because you had such a magical childhood. I don't know.
So. I think
you don't, or you just repress everything too. Because look, you know, because I don't want parents out there listening to be like, well, why can't my husband shift gears so easily and like be everything to the kid and also everything at work? Like you do have.
Well, our kid's three too. It's a bit easier.
Our kid is only three. And also you have, like you've had periods, you were sick for like 6 months last year.
Sure.
And part of that was, I think, from stress.
Exhaustion. I think it was a lack of sleep.
Yeah. Like his elbow wouldn't stop bleeding.
Yeah.
And now you're like, oh, you're talking about my flaws. I'm just saying.
No, not my flaws.
I feel like
nobody
really.
I feel like
to tear you down.
Yeah. Beautiful. I don't know that people are that interested in my medical history.
No, that's true. But I'm just saying.
But I appreciate it. I'm a great dad. That's the headline. I totally agree.
you are.
I'll be launching my podcast in 2017.
Well, we've got the equipment.
I'm not doing
Which, by
podcast.
The way, I'm thinking about like this time last year, I did not have any equipment. And I didn't.
Nor did you have a recording space.
And I did not have a recording studio. And I did not know how I was going to pull it off on my own.
But the universe provides.
A year later, the universe provides, Adam Stekiel provides,
it sound like it's some crazy, like it's literally, just so everyone's clear, like it's just an empty room, a table.
No, it is a very nice room. It has acoustic panels.
It is, but it's not. I want people to know, if there are people out there who are like, oh, I always wanted to do a podcast, but it sounds like it's a lot.
You're like, trying to like stir up some competition for me?
Maybe people are interested in like old cars or something. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm sure your listeners have tons of interests and
yes.
might like a creative outlet. And a podcast,
yes.
I'm saying, is a very simple
No, it's so true.
Thing
it costs
to do.
Nothing to start. It just takes
simple
time.
It takes time. I don't want to make it sound like it's easy.
It depends also on what you're doing. You know, if you choose to read 400-page books in a week.
Sure. Yeah, that's
a
lot.
It's different.
No, but even watching you record and cut, I mean, it takes a lot of time.
Yeah, but some people don't cut. So, yeah, I mean.
Sure. Get out there. You know what? Everybody pick a personal project in 2017. Some you've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And just go out and take a big swing.
What's yours going to be?
Well, I've got my book.
Come on. Everyone, he's kidding.
I'm kidding. I'm not doing that. I don't know. I'm going to continue to, you know, do what I'm doing. We'll see. I got a lot on my plate.
You do.
I'm starting to stress out. I got to go work.
Your elbow's starting to itch?
Yeah.
All right, everybody. So again, next week we are taking off. Listen to a recent episode you want to catch up on. And again, subscribe on iTunes. And when you're with your family over the holidays or you're seeing friends at these parties, like steal their iPhones, find the podcast app, search Atomic Moms and subscribe. It really helps with our ranking. And leave a review on iTunes, please, please, please. Also, I love getting your messages on atomicmoms.com and Facebook. And when you write me, also leave a review because that also helps with our ranking. And for new moms that are like checking out podcasts, they want to hear what you guys think. Alrighty. Until 2017, trust in your goodness, live out your greatness, rock on, Atomic Moms.